Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC's Big Blue Breakdown. Joe Cal along with Giants former tight end Howard Cross and one of the co-hosts for This Week in Football on the YES Network. And I tell you, Howard, the Big Blue fans are feeling blue after that disgusting effort that we saw on Sunday. It looked like Brett Favre was playing a preseason game. It looked like the Giants didn't want to be there. You know, you're better off watching a Three Stooges marathon on Sunday than watching that disgusting display.
It sounds like you're feeling red, not blue to me.
You know what, though? I am feeling very upset. I do have my Giants hat on today. I'm showing my support for the team because it's like a, you know, it's like one of those marriages, you know, for better or for worse. I'm a fan of this team. And really, I went out and got this hat yesterday. Right after John Mara finally came out an hour after Reese and Coughlin spoke and said, well, you know, the team tried and they did their best. And Mara just went out and said, just not acceptable, Howard. Something that we spoke about for the last month, what we're seeing from this team. And John Mara, the owner of this team, you know, this is a great tradition of ownership in this league. And Mara just sounded so disgusted. You could hear it in his voice. And I think us Giant fans, you know, just the fans were happy to hear that out of his voice because he wasn't happy with what he saw over the whole season, Howard.
You know, trying to be politically correct as a coach is one thing. And the reason why you're politically correct is because you got guys' jobs in a balance. And I do mean like coaches, their families. That's a tough thing. The biggest thing for them is to try to figure out a way, you know, to ease out of the situation because you know you're going to let a guy go and Bill Sheridan. Mm-hmm. You may let other guys go on that defensive coaching staff. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. So you can't really come out and say, you know, one thing. You can also can't really come out and say that your players quit, because you're basically in implementing yourself. Because how could they quit?
That's they're part playing, of coaching.
They're playing for you, the coach, the GM, all these people that they are to answer for what happened. Now let's look at the team. The players are horrible.
Awful.
You know, and not horrible in the sense they can't play, but horrible in the sense that they didn't play. They didn't fight back. I don't want to say they didn't try. They just didn't give a lot of great effort. And when you see that, that's on film. And now that's on film, they got to deal with that. And mm-hmm. you got an owner that's going to sit in, you know, the personnel meetings and start saying, hey, look, evaluate them and tell me what you really see because we need to make some changes. And there's not a lot you can do, but at the same time, being the quote unquote uncapped year, there are some possibilities that you could do some things.
Yeah, and it just looked like, you know, Eli Manning, a lot of people get frustrated with his lack of emotion, but you know, I'm not going to say Eli Manning played a great game because he didn't the other day. But the thing is though, Howard, you're just seeing, we spoke about this, you know, you said there's just no leadership on this team, and I know Antonio Pierce is probably not going to be back, and there's no voice on the defense to speak up. I mean, Tuck I think is their best defensive player. He played hurt all year, but even Tuck, you see him on the sideline, his head is up in the air. There's no voice. I mean, you had a voice on your team on the defense, although you couldn't understand him half the time. But Jesse Armstead was at least somebody that got in people's faces. You know, that's Michael Strahan, and you know, and I saw you used to get in the offensive linemen's faces.
Well, you don't have that with the Giants. Here's the difference, and you got to remember that. The world changed for the team, and the world changed, period. Tiki Barber went out complaining how they stole his will to play, but he drifted away. Mm-hmm. The following year, they win on the back of Strahan, because now Strahan and Tiki aren't bickering at each other, trying to steal the spotlight, and Strahan has the whole spotlight. Mm-hmm. Then he goes out. The moment he goes out, they don't play big enough, but you still have a great defensive coordinator, and Spagnuolo, who's still thriving with the fire and the passion, trying to get it going. The following year, you get Bill Sheridan. Now you have no Strahan. You have no Tiki. You have mm-hmm. no RW. Mm-hmm. You have no Sam Madison. You have no Amani Toomer. You have no, for no better word, Plexico Burress. You have nobody there who's going to be pissed off, who's going to be angry, mm-hmm. who's going to want to, you know, change things. Justin Tuck, I love him. Good kid. But to sit over there, hurt or not, hold his head down because he's embarrassed that what's going on and not get mad and critique anyone.
Yeah.
This is the Oprah Winfrey feel-good society. And that's what you saw playing the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt your feelings. Hey, we'll do better next time. It's going to be okay,
I think they have to do better next time. I love that the owner is not going to stand for this, Howard.
But you're missing the point. They have to do better. It's not going to make them better.
I know, but at least it was said that the owner, the man who pays them, okay, is not going to take it. Now, you could easily say, okay, if the Giants drop him, another team will go out and pay him. But they're not going to pay him as much.
No, they won't.
Okay? So, you know, when your job is on the line, your paycheck is on the line, especially, and we spoke about this, especially this year, you could make major changes. And when the owner, the man that signs your checks, is coming out and saying this just will not be, I think they really have to look at themselves in the mirror. And if somebody comes to you in training camp and says, you are the leader of this team, and we're
going to... No, it doesn't work that way. Here's what you're missing. Look at it. Look, here are the two things are your dead indicators, and you know, I know we'll talk about something else later, but here are the biggest indicators. Number one, your bell cow, Osi Umenyor, walks out of camp. He's your, got the C on his chest. He's mm-hmm. your guy. Then he gets benched late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's players. Now, you fired Bill Sheridan, mm-hmm. but that's your perennial pro bowler, the GQ guy, he looks good and all that stuff. He doesn't show up. You have later in the year Michael Boley, who's running all over the field, making plays. He falls into the mold with everybody else. He's not making as many plays, and when someone critiques him, well, I don't know who that is. Oh, that's somebody, maybe the best inside backer in the history of football. And he's saying he doesn't think he has got a lot of effort. Suck it up and say, hey, yo, we're playing bad. Don't go out and say, who is he? He's not one of our guys. Only thing that matters is what's in this locker room. Well, what's in the locker room did not get it done.
Well, you know what? Michael Strahan was an emotional roller coaster. I mean, you know, some days he loved the press, some days he didn't. And he was outspoken. He sat out of camp. But you know what? Michael Strahan showed up every Sunday and played. Osi Umenyor, you know what? Michael Strahan played like a pro every single Sunday. And maybe he wasn't the exact voice of enthusiasm, but if Harry Carson or Lawrence Taylor ever went up to Michael Strahan, he wouldn't publicly come out and say, who are these guys? You know, that's the difference between Strahan and Boley and maybe even Umenyor. He wouldn't come out and question the tradition of Giants because Strahan, maybe it's because he was there longer, but Umenyor has been here for a while. But who are these guys to question the leaders of the team?
You're being a fan again.
I am a fan.
Be a GM and realize, hey, we made a mistake. We need to get some guys who are going to be simple. That while they're on the team, this is the most important thing that's in their life at the time. I want to take care of my God, my family, but this team, this is my occupation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have fun doing it, but I'm not going to let anybody ever interrupt it.
Okay. Well, next week I want to talk about the changes that you think are going to become with the Giants because I know this is going to be an up and down week with coaches and everything. So once everything settles a week from now, I want to talk to you about what changes you think the Giants are really going to need going into next year. And the next segment, I just want to touch upon, especially the NFC East and the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys and the rest of the playoff teams. Big Blue Breakdown, Football NYC, Joe Callow, Howard Cross. We're back.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
We are back. Football NYC's Big Blue Breakdown. We're going to do everything but talk about the Giants in this segment, Howard Cross. But two teams that you know very well, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, have a rematch this week. And I've been really impressed with Dallas over this last month. I think their defense, Wade Phillips, is an underrated defensive mind in this league because everybody thinks of him as a good old boy and how he doesn't, you know, how he doesn't put a lot of pressure on his team. But I think as a defensive mind, he's brilliant. And I think the team is just playing really great defensive football this last month, and I think they're going to win this week against the Eagles.
Well, they do have a lot of talent on defense. They make a lot of plays. The problem is that Wade's never won a playoff game. Mm-hmm. He's a winningest coach NFL without winning a playoff game. That's a little pressure that he doesn't need. Tony Romo, as great as he's played all December, hasn't won a playoff game. That's going to be in Tony's head also. So those kind of things that factor in. You got to have some really, really good luck to have some really big breaks. I think Philadelphia is going
to
come out and play better. I think
they're
going to put a little pressure on them. And they got a player. If it's close, Jackson can score. Punt return, kickoff return, catch a little ball out in the flat, he can be gone. So with that X factor in the game, you got to get – Dallas has to get the lead early and get up by a couple touchdowns at least.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, three scores. If they can do that, then Philadelphia will be out of their – comfort mode, and they'll throw the ball 50 times in a game, and that'll kill him.
And the person who's been the X factor for the Eagles over the last bunch of years was Westbrook, and I'll be interested to see what his role is this week, because, you know, he's another guy. I mean, he could just make a game.
He could, but you got to, you know, like I said, God bless him and his family and everything, but the concussion thing, he took it very seriously.
Yeah.
And when he had a reoccurrence, he's making some decisions, not so much for the playoffs and the Eagles, but
for him.
Maybe for his family and for him.
All right, so you like the Eagles this Saturday?
I like the Eagles. I like them because a lot of history goes against Dallas, and, you know, I don't pick against history usually.
Okay, let's talk about the other NFC playoff game, and it's the Green Bay Packers, who are playing really good football this last month. And I love a team that steamrolls into the playoffs, and they're playing against the Arizona Cardinals, who limped into the playoffs last year, you know, a 9-7 record, and go all the way to almost winning the Super Bowl, so you never know with them.
Well, you know, they're an exciting team. They're a fun team, the Arizona Cardinals. Fitzgerald, Bolden, all these guys, they play really good ball. But the thing that you got to think about with this group is, unfortunately, if they don't get started early, they don't get started. They do have a better defense than they've had in a long time. But if they don't get started early, even on the defensive side, they don't get started. And Green Bay has the potential to really, really put the hammer to them.
And it sounds like you like Green Bay.
I like Green Bay.
Okay. So you like the road team there. And let's talk about the JETS Jets, who, you know, are finally going to play a meaningful game, I guess, this week against a team that's actually going to play 60 minutes of football. Now, I don't even think the Cincinnati Bengals want to get off the plane the other night because they didn't show it in a play. Ross Tucker says that they really were trying to win the game, but it really didn't look like it. And I think the Jets have an excellent chance of winning this game.
I think the Jets have a great chance of winning this game. I think Rex Ryan's going to do what he should do, and he's going to run Thomas Jones and run Thomas Jones and run Thomas Jones. And, you know, Sanchez will be a sparingly played player. Filling outside the ball, they're going to do the exact same thing. They're going to run at him, Cedric Benson, over and over and over again. They're going to make – you're going to have to stop Cedric Benson. Now, Carson Palmer can throw the ball, but, you know, one side of the field is eliminated with Revis. So he's got to go to the other side of the ball. His tight ends and backs are going to have to come up big for him.
And Lavernius Coles, who really hasn't made a major impact this year.
Well,
the Bengals.
He might make an impact in this game. It should be very interesting.
Didn't look like Ocho Cinco wanted any part of Revis.
Well, he was hurt before the game. But think about this. You're going to have in Cincinnati, they're going to have that crowd. All the stuff's going to be in their favor. You know, the Jets are a good team. But now they leave their stadium, and Sanchez hasn't been stellar on the road.
So you think the Bengals?
I'm picking the Bengals.
Okay. So another home team, and the last game I want to touch on is the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots, who took a serious blow with Wes Welker going down. Who, you know, as much as Randy Moss is an exciting player, I think Wes Welker really makes this offense go. You know, I think he's a dangerous target. Do you think that's going to play a huge factor in this game?
It's going to be a huge factor in the game, and here's the problem with this, and a lot of people are saying this. You know, the Patriots don't lose at home. They don't lose at home in the playoffs. They're like a billion in the O or something like that. They're the team to beat. Here's the problem. Baltimore's hot coming in, and they basically beat them to death the last game but didn't win. They got all the motivation in the world. They don't care that it's cold. They don't care that it's New England. They don't care about anything.
Yeah,
I got Baltimore in this game.
Yeah, because they have a good running game. Ray Rice from New Rochelle, New York, I think is going to have a huge game. And the Patriots, I just don't think they're the same team they were the past couple of years. Yeah. And I like the road team, too. So
and Flacco threw an interception late in the game, in that last game, in the red zone. If they kicked a field goal, they're probably in overtime. Probably win the game.
All right, Howard. Thank you, as always. Next week, we'll talk about the changes that will be coming for the New York Giants. But this week, everybody, enjoy the wild card weekend. Howard, as always, thank you. We'll see you on This Week in Football. This has been Football NYC's Big Blue Breakdown. Joe Callow, Howard Cross. We'll see you next week, folks.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear what they're saying, only the echoes of their minds. People stop and stare, I don't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes.